This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Store's beverage clubs just got bigger. Buy six Celsius, Pure Leaf Tea, Starbucks Energy, or Pepsi 1 liter flavors and get the seventh free. Whether you're craving an energy boost or just something to quench your thirst, we've got the drink for you. As a True Rewards member, sip and save with our clubs when you buy six and get the seventh free. Download now from your favorite app store for more details. True North Convenience Stores and True Rewards. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Did you see the picture at the NFL Honors of Jared Allen and Aiden Hutchinson?
Yes, I did, Nick. Yes, I did.
I mean, people are saying, people are talking about this, JP.
It did seem intentional, did it not? I thought that was some recruitment happening right there, wasn't it?
Yeah, that one, I didn't like that one.
I didn't either because it felt the most real, did it? I mean, like, it was the whole thing with Miles. This has been very intentional. And you can't be surprised. You're in front of a bunch of people in the media at the NFL Honors, and then you're talking to two Detroit Lions, seeming like you're at, you know, the Chuckle Hut having the time of your life. This is going to get snapped. You know it's going to get snapped. And I think I know you're doing it intentionally. It's bothersome.
So I should be clear. I don't hold it against Miles. There is something brewing in my dome that I'm just really struggling with the idea of Detroit, who seems to have it all.
I thought you rooted for Detroit.
I know I do. I just don't want them to have Myles Garrett. All right? I know that. No.
Well, like Za'Darius Smith was like the trial run, and now we have Myles Garrett potentially?
I know. I just think it's like you have an embarrassment of riches. You go find your own Myles Garrett. You have one. You've got Aiden Hutchinson. I don't know, man. I don't know how to describe it. I don't really blame Myles for doing this. And it's funny, like, I do think to some people Myles is becoming a villain. And I think he's just meeting the Browns with their same energy.
I know, but it's just the incessant nature of it all that I think is rubbing people the wrong way.
That's how you get traded. If you really want to be traded, put the pressure on him out in public.
I agree. This is what he should be doing. We're at the point, though, where it feels almost a little too calculated for my liking.
Why? What line are you walking there?
Well, again, we know I overthink things often. Hence why I'm coming up with Snoop Dogg and Bill Belichick theories last segment that they probably didn't exhaust more than 30 seconds on. But when it comes to Miles, it feels like he looked around the room, thought to himself, how do I get more people in a tizzy? How do I make the Browns as mad as I possibly can? Oh, that's how I do it. It's like if you wanted to make a ex-girlfriend mad and you're out and about, it's like, oh, I'll talk to her former enemy right in front of her face so that everyone knows. Like, it feels that way. It feels so outwardly gross that it's fine. It's how he has to play the game. I get it. It's not going to get any easier, though.
I'm not pushing back on what you're saying because I think we should all feel whichever way we want to. I just, every time he does this, I go right back to blaming the Browns. I'm like, you're playing hardball. You're the one telling a guy who's given you 8 years, who's been patient, who's lived through the Deshaun stuff, who's lived through the Baker stuff. And in fairness, Miles has not been the perfect citizen himself, so that has to be stated as well. But the guy who's fulfilled his obligation at every front to the Cleveland Browns, you're stonewalling him. And not just that. They appear to still be pretty set on taking Shador Sanders. And all of this screams to me of an organization that's interested in saving a couple people's jobs instead of doing this thing the right way. So that I just come back to that. Like, Miles could do just about anything right now, and I'm not going to like it. Like, the idea of him going to Detroit, and I don't know why I dislike that more than him going to Buffalo. Maybe it's because right now Detroit is the team that everybody has the hair tussling that we're used to.
We should want to get them to the NFC though.
I want the Lions to win. Detroit just deserves it. So he's taking a team that is in the role that Cleveland, at least the Cleveland Browns, have customarily been in until the Deshaun debacle. He would be going to that team and then getting more hair tussling going to the favorites in the NFL right now.
I mean, is there a team that you would be happy he lands on? Because I don't think that exists either, right?
New England, yeah.
New England? Yeah, because you want the number 4 pick is why.
I'll take the number 4 pick. And also,
maybe that's what this is. You know the Lions draft picks are absolute, they stink. It's going to, relatively speaking.
No, it really
you
does.
You make a deal with the Lions, you're picking in the late 20s.
They're Michigan adjacent. That doesn't help. Meaning to Michigan football, not the state
half
of Michigan.
Their fan base hates Michigan just as much as you do.
Yeah, but it's the other half that I hate too. But no, it's really just they're the team of the moment. They're the team that everybody rallies around, and I'm a little jealous of it. I like it's tough. Okay, if we're gonna continue, it's like having an older sibling that you've been outperforming in every walk of life, and suddenly they've got this great glow up. And now they've had a great glow up.
Wait, the Browns are outperforming people?
No. The Browns, as bad as they've been, historically are a better franchise than Detroit, even with the recent kind of thing here. Well, now all of a sudden, your older sibling, who is kind of the lovable loser, now all of a sudden is a lovable winner. And now they've won enough that you're like, well, they're winning more than me. And now they're going to get like, they just won getting miles would be akin to winning the lottery. That's what that feels like. It's like, you've had enough nice things now. I'm not rooting against you, but I'm sick of being outclassed by you because we're in the same weight class here, and this sucks.
I mean, they have, in my opinion, relative to what they've done the previous 2 years, they've drastically underperformed, all things considered, when we talk about postseason success.
Yeah, I think you're the only person that thinks that.
They were supposed to be the NFC darlings this year. Yeah, they were supposed to go to the Super Bowl. Their defense fell apart.
They
had a bunch of injuries.
They took no flack the last 2 years. Like, the things that were said about Baltimore and Buffalo, nowhere near the criticism of San Francisco even falling short this year. Detroit's still very much in a love bubble with the media, where anything the Lions do, that's good enough. The Lions have not taken any criticism for being the number one team in the NFC falling short.
They took a lot of criticism for blowing a 19-point lead at the half against San Francisco. You just might not want to remember it that way, but like, they blew a 19-point lead at the half to go to the Super Bowl. That was about as disastrous as it gets.
And how many people were talking about that this year?
I talked about it. I think a decent amount of people talked about it.
Different people.
That was a pretty big fail.
I don't think they've taken half the. No, they're not taking any comparatively. I'm comparing it to the normal flack we give quarterbacks and teams that are consistently there. Greatness, goodness, whatever you want to call it, Alliance is still relatively new enough that when they fail, it's not seen as consequential as like Lamar can't win the big game, or Lamar can't beat Pat, or Josh Allen can't beat Pat.
Okay, but if that was the case, then I guess I'm confused as to the hang up on Detroit then.
Yeah, I don't want them to have more nice things. They've got enough of nice. They're going to win a lot of games.
And I don't know that they can pay both Aiden Hutchinson and Myles Garrett, but they'll find money, I'm sure.
I don't think they should. I think
okay,
and I just don't love it for the
Browns from a trade value standpoint, because we're just not going to get anything close to what I think a lot of people want when you'd be picking so late in the first round.
Well, how they would have to do it is I do wonder if there's like a sliding scale, like, all right, if we trade with New England, knowing that you can get higher up first, second, or third round picks this year, do maybe you take less picks into the future? Right, and then maybe a team like Detroit, if you assume both their picks, if you get two ones, all right, if they're going to be 26, 27, 28, 29, does that need a third first, or is it more seconds? I do wonder, like, if there's like a complicated sliding scale, given that a team like Detroit or a team like Buffalo, the picks they're going to give you are not picks that you're going to use to get your quarterback, unless it's to use that pick and your pick to trade up for a quarterback.
I got lost. But I agree, go Cavs.
Meaning, I wonder if you get less picks from New England because they're higher this year than you might. Like, maybe a Detroit has to give you 9 picks instead of 7 picks from New England.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess time will tell on that. It seems to me like we've been talking about two firsts as the starting point, and we haven't done the sliding scale conversation. And maybe we should, because there are a couple teams that have their draft picks in the middle of the class, and then there are the Patriots that are at four, and then there are teams like the Lions that are on the late end. And I think part of the Miles conversation that we haven't really gone down yet, and I think we will as we actually near closer to a trade, is the Browns balancing out the idea of, okay, that's a contender, but it doesn't help us as far as picks are concerned.
So maybe I actually can come up with another way to put this. I feel very much about the Lions now, but the way I did the Rams before they went and won the Super Bowl, because they had traded for Stafford, they had traded for Jalen Ramsey, they had traded for Von Miller, and it felt like every 6 months they were making some sort of move and having some sort of success after already being in the Super Bowl but 3 or 4 years prior. And it was like, at some point when they signed Odell Beckham Jr., I was like, screw that guy and screw that team. You know what I mean? And I'm not screw that guy with Miles. It was just like, if you had gone to, I don't know, a team that maybe didn't fit that profile, maybe I wouldn't have hated it as much.
I don't know. I can appreciate, and this is why I appreciate the Cavs right now, the teams that seem like they're just constantly going for it, and they'll clean up the pieces later, but they constantly see their window and they see what they have to do, and that's what the Lions scream to me. They scream to me a team that understand that they've lost a lot of coordinators, they lost a lot of their coaching staff, and if they got Myles Garrett, that might be able to recoup some of that.
I just think with the Myles thing, to get back to the NFL honors picture, I do know that with every one of these things, that Browns fans, there's a new defection back to the Browns side of things. And my word of caution would be, you're going back to the people that are facilitating this. Like, this never had to go public. If Miles felt like he'd been listened to, he wouldn't have gone out on Radio Row this week. If Miles felt like the Browns were going to work with him and give him the respect that he wants, whether that's a new contract or a trade, Miles would not have taken this picture. And so while Miles is the thing right in front of your face, it all ties back to an organization that seems very much in its own way right now. And in a way that, again, trading Miles is not the ultimate disruption to you being able to build a winning contender within the near future. This goes from a short rebuild to a very long rebuild. The second that Andrew Berry, Kevin Stefanski, and Paul DePodesta cling to their guns, overdraft a quarterback who I don't think is going to be nearly as good as you need him to be in the long run, all in the name of saving their job while using up cap space, while trying to strong-arm the face of your franchise, all in the name of things that probably don't stop you from needing to rebuild in the first place, right? Like, I think the train has left the station on 2025, and if you screw this up or if you spend too much of this offseason screwing around, chasing this idea and pushing this narrative to every media member who will snap it up and run with it, if you continue to do that, at some point you're going to waste resources that shouldn't be going towards this year or even next year. And you should be thinking about the long run. That should be the focus.
Yes.
Miles is the distraction.
But
the Browns' dysfunction and this Browns' BS, that needs to continue to be the thing we're realizing is going on here.
Right, but that's why we need somebody to step in charge and it not be Andrew Berry that is going to make all these calls. Because right now, it feels like if Andrew Berry wants to save his job, he would do everything that is the exact opposite of what you're suggesting.
Hey, if I'm the Browns right now... Nope, you know what? I'm not taking shots. It's Buddhist Nick Wilson. I'm feeling good on a football Friday and an F off Friday and a funky fresh Friday, because those are the only kind of Fridays I have. Joe Vardon. I really want to take that shot. The Athletics NBA reporter joining us in 5 minutes. We'll get his thoughts on how much the math has changed now that the Cavs have traded for DeAndre Hunter. That's in 5 on 92.3 The Fan. Your Cleveland Cavaliers 41-10 on the season. They've got a game that they should just slaughter the Wizards tonight. I mean, that team is just filth. And I don't mean good filth. You know the kind of filth I'm talking about. And oh yeah, they traded for DeAndre Hunter. Ben Simmons could be a buyout candidate to talk about all of it. Welcome on a man on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. You know quite well now the Athletics NBA reporter Joe Vardon. Joe, welcome to the show, buddy.
What's up, Nick? How you doing?
Vibes are up. The DeAndre Hunter trades come in, and I feel like I hit the jackpot. How about you?
You know, okay, the short answer is yes. I think it's a brilliant trade, and I'm surprised that it came as cheaply as it did. Something that dawned on me, though, listening to the Kobe, he did a conference call today, and just as kind of my own career has gone on and I've gotten away from daily coverage of any particular team, you might lose sight a little bit of the human element of this, because, you know, if you're looking at this as an analyst or as somebody who's like trying to just work in the trade deadline and decide, you know, which moves were good and which ones weren't, you look at DeAndre Hunter. He's 6'8". He's averaging 19 points. He shoots 40% from three. He can guard up, you know, to the four, even in a small ball five, he can guard. And he gives you that sort of size and physicality on the perimeter that they don't have. But when you kind of get back to the local level, and then you start thinking about, well, Caris LeVert has been here for 3 full years, and George Niang is, you know, somebody who is really popular in that locker room. And then, so you forget about the friendships that are made, and you're talking about a team that's not only, like you said, 41-10, so that's the best in the NBA, but they like each other. Like, this is a team that has good vibes. And so you make a move that's a no-brainer. You had to make it, no question. But then you do have to go back and make sure that everybody understands why in that room. And then also give everybody a little bit of a chance to, you know, I don't know if grieve is the right word. I mean, it's not like, you know, Caris and George are losing money. They aren't. But just take a minute to, you know, to miss the guys that are out the door. And so, you know, I do expect everything to be fine tonight in Washington for sure. But yeah, I mean, it's probably a little bittersweet with that team right now.
Yeah, Joe, we've weighed the chemistry side of this, and you know, you talk about how close a relationship Donovan had with both players. Do you feel like Donovan, in your own opinion, was involved in these trade discussions?
No, I don't think so. And you know, certainly he's got a great. No, you're right. I mean, Donovan goes way back with George. They've been teammates forever. Going back to the Utah days, I think that he and Caris share an agent, and we're close as well. So that's right. And I don't think that I don't think the Cavs work that way. And certainly, like, I don't think you would need Donovan's sign off to go find somebody that will help make life easier for him. I mean, look, you know, Donovan is what? He's a 6-time All-Star now, so obviously a very good player. And Darius Garland is a 2-time All-Star, and he's back to his form. And so they're great, but they're small, you know? Like, they – and in these physical – like, in a 7 – well, hopefully it goes 7. In a big series against the Celtics, like, having to deal with Derek White and Jaylen Brown, like Donovan and Darius are going to need a little help. And so, you know, to have somebody with the size and versatility of Hunter only helps him.
So, speaking to whether it's the Celtics series or the Knicks series, you know, the two biggest potential speed bumps for the Cavs on their path to their next NBA championship, how does the Hunter move change the math?
Well, I had the Cavs in any series except for the Celtics. So I don't think it changes the math there. And then in the Celtics, you know, I guess it still just remains to be seen. Boston is so deep, and I just contend that they're bored. You know, I'm not making excuses for the Celtics, but with the culture of the modern NBA, you know, for the Warriors 9 years ago, after winning a title, to go out and win 73 games. I mean, I just don't think – I don't think 73 is ever being touched again, one. And then two, to do it after winning a title is just, like – I mean, I just – like, looking back on it, I can't believe it. So I still really like the Celtics. You know, I think the Cavs have a chance there for sure. But I think when you talk about changing the math, what we really need to consider – is that in any series, when Dean Wade is not available because of injury, which is like the case, you know, they have a harder time. And now they are not going to be nearly as reliant on Dean's availability to be comfortably ahead in these first two playoff rounds. And I think that is that one right there is probably as important as however this evens the playing field against the Celtics.
Is this moment the best Cavs fan should feel since LeBron left?
Oh, Jonathan, I guess, you know, I mean, we've done this show this year a couple times, and we've talked about teams that get off to these starts that the Cavs have gotten off to, that they almost always get to the finals. And then if they don't, then they certainly get to the conference finals. That's almost an ironclad statement there. Like, I think there's one case where somebody made it to the conference semifinals. So, you know, yes, you should be excited. And then I put this in the story I wrote after the trade deadline, looking at the whole league, that if you go back over the last 10 years, at least one number one seed has made the finals 7 out of the last 10 years. But it's only happened once in those 10 years when both number one seeds make it. So, yeah, like all the signs from history are telling us that the Cavs probably should be in the finals. But, you know, there's also, I guess, there is a downside of the weight of expectations. And, you know, historically over the last few years, the Cavs really struggle in the second half. And they, you know, they have a harder time in the playoffs with some of these physical series. So, you know, I think that the best way to say it is cautiously optimistic. I mean, they've lost a bunch of games even since the last time the three of us talked. You know, that's true. And they're, you know, they're still obviously an excellent team, but like they're going through some stuff too. So, you know, cautiously optimistic, absolutely, but I think respectful of what's to come.
Joe Varden on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, breaking down the latest with the Cavaliers. Another big report out there is Ben Simmons is finalizing a contractual buyout with the Nets, and two teams linked to him in the buyout market are the Cavs and the Clippers. If he were to choose the Cavaliers, what do you think of that fit?
Three teams, Nick. Also the Rockets. Come on, you got to read The Athletic, my man.
I just wanted you to correct me.
Come on, Shams is my guy, and Brian is my guy, of course. But you know, the Rockets are in there too, and like I didn't report this, but I think there may be a fourth team that is interested in him as well. So there is some interest, you know, with Ben. I think that is an intriguing case. And so on the one hand, they really don't have, you know, Tristan's still there, but you know, I don't know if you feel comfortable playing him major minutes anymore in a playoff series. And then we just got done talking about Dean. Okay. So after that, like they don't have any backup bigs. And we saw what happened with Jarrett in the playoffs last year. You know, Evan has had nicks and knacks and actually one serious injury so far in his career. And so you need somebody, and they have an open roster spot. Ben Simmons is 6'10", maybe 6'11". He's super athletic. He's obviously got a good handle. He can pass. So those are all really good. He'll get you a rebound, especially a defensive rebound. He can score going downhill, but he doesn't want any part of the foul line in any kind of pressure situation, and he will not shoot a three. So,
what is Dax? Are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen. Yes, I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for
in Dax's domain. We see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them.
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell,
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, those are the facts. How does he work as a fit? You know, the other intriguing part is Kobe was talking about the culture today in Cleveland and that they value character in their players. And, you know, I don't know Ben Simmons personally, but it's like I can say, just based on what we've seen publicly over the last however many years, that there's some questions there. And so, you know, is he a fit in Cleveland? I'm not sure, but they do need someone, and there are some things that he brings that could help them, you know, in a spot, in a pinch, a few minutes here or there. And you know, I just want to caution everybody. You know, the buyout market is way overrated. Way overrated. The impact that these guys, that buyout players have, is somewhere between like minimal and medium. Kevin Love is a flyer. He was bought out here. He went to Miami and actually really helped them that first year, for sure. He did. But he is the exception, not the rule. So when you look at buyout markets and buyout players in general, just temper it. You know, like Ben Simmons is a huge name. He still draws a ton of interest from fans, but I think that's more so because of his history than what he does. And I think, you know, if you bring Ben Simmons to Cleveland, okay, but they're going to go as far as Donovan and Darius and Jared and Evan and even DeAndre can take them.
Yeah, Joe, I like that you focused in on the part of the Kobe press conference, because we listened in obviously as well, and he kept mentioning like the idea of you want fountains, not drains. And if you believe in that, and Kobe stressed it, in fact, he gave Daryl like a shout out for acknowledging the cultural aspect of what the locker room is. And so if you believe that, then maybe Ben Simmons, and with the effect that these buyouts typically don't have, maybe it just doesn't make sense, Joe.
Yeah, I guess like, I mean, I think we could make the case, and I think we are making that case. But I guess, like, to go in the other direction, you know, Ben is well aware of his place in this league today, and that it's tenuous, and that he almost wasn't in it anymore. So, like, the ego and sort of the, well, you know, I won't make your listeners wait for me to think of the word, but whatever it is that would make you feel more comfortable behaving a certain way is not a luxury for Simmons anymore. So whatever team he goes to, especially if it's a team like Cleveland, he's going to have to go there to fit in. And so we should, if we're going to be fair to the situation, we should take that into account as well. You know, and let's see what else, you know, materializes on the buyout market. I mean, do the Heat buy out Kevin? Does Bojan Bogdanovic, you know, who's big and does shoot threes, is he available? So, you know, let's take a look and see what else is out there too.
Bogdanovic, please come on now. What are you? Don't give me too randy here. It's not even 5 o'clock, Joe. That's like my dream. I've been dreaming of a Bogdanovic in Cleveland for many, many years here. I did want to ask because his age, the state of the Lakers. Should we be on LeBron retirement watch this year?
No, I don't think so. I think if you extend that 18 months, then I think it's fair. I mean, he's seen it all. He's done it all. And you know, he's played 22 years and I don't think he wants to go out as a significantly lesser player than he was for his entire career. So I think he's guarding against that. But we're talking about a dude who literally put up 42-17 the other night last night against the Warriors at age 40. So he can still play at least on the offensive end at a very high level. And we have to give the Lakers credit. They are defending over the last two or three weeks at a top 10 rate. And that's without Anthony Davis. So does the Luka trade, you know, which was done in part, not totally, but in part to prepare and begin to move on from the LeBron era. Does it at the same time actually rejuvenate LeBron a little? That's possible. I mean, I can't wait to see those two play together just for the enjoyment factor, but also to see how it works. And if it does work, maybe it squeezes one more year out of him, but I don't know, you know, like 40 is a long time to be playing year 22. Next year will be year 23. That's his jersey number. Yeah, I could see it. I could see it. Us talking about this very seriously next year.
Do you think it's a lock he finishes his career with the Lakers?
I mean, I do. And I put that in the big story, you know, last night, today. I've always thought that since he left here in 2018. I still believe it to be true. You know, there's just that paternal instinct. His son is on the Lakers with him. And, you know, he could say, well, you know, my kid has a guaranteed contract and he's fine. He's getting better in the G League. Like, he doesn't need me. And maybe some of that stuff is true. But I just, like, that is unfathomable that he would push his way out or even walk his way out from the team for which his son plays. Just no way. And I think the Lakers have a chance to be pretty good this year and next year. Like, let's be real about that. I think they're probably tied for fourth right now, or maybe in fifth by barely in the West right now. And then Luka's coming, Mark Williams is coming. So, and they didn't give away their 2031 pick or Reeves, if you want to use him as trade bait. So they have room to get even better than they are now.
Joe, couldn't get any better than this, buddy. Appreciate your time. And next time I'll make sure to say the right amount of teams. I'm sorry, buddy.
Thanks, guys. Great to talk to you as always.
Have a great weekend. Joe Vardon there on the Athletic, of the Athletic on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. We got plenty to react to of what he had to say about DeAndre Hunter and whether my partner just flip-flopped on Ben Simmons or not. That's in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan. I think it's a valid point, and I think Joe making it is even more valid because he's in the locker rooms.
Yeah.
But, like, guys, we don't need to be doing goodbye tribute post to George Niang. He's a good dude.
Like, I know, but the guys that are in the locker rooms like Joe every single day, they value that stuff a lot more than me and you. We just don't go to the locker rooms as much.
Yeah, but like 2 months from now, this is not going to be a conversation. And,
right.
I don't want to make it seem like I think Joe and I think everybody on the beat who's been in the locker room, I think they're very sincere in this. But there is a bit of crocodile tears here. Like, there is a part of it, like, at some point we are overstating the impact here. I know these guys like each other, and the Cavs seem to be doing a really good job of picking out guys that fit their culture. Kobe Altman said as much in his press appearance earlier today. Like, he said, hey, Daryl actually asked a question. He was like,
Daryl got kudos, by the way.
Daryl got a single kudos saying, thank you for calling that out, because we've done a lot of work on the culture fit with
you
DeAndre.
You could tell Kobe had a lot of pride in that, though. He did. He took a lot of pride, and not only, and again, I mentioned it like three times today, but him talking about being a fountain and not a drain, it's a line we've heard him use in the past, and it's one he goes to. Like, he you can tell he cares about that. But that's why DeAndre Hunter is such a good fit for him, though. Because think about it. Since DeAndre Hunter has been signed, how many times have we talked about the Ty Jerome relationship going back to Virginia? We've talked about the idea that him and Evan Mobley share agents and apparently work out together and are very close. And then him and Darius Garland have a great relationship because they were in the draft class together and apparently hang out a lot as well. So, like, you see how this gets spun a certain way, where it's like, all right, who does DeAndre Hunter get along with? Because there is going to be something missing with Karis and George Niang gone, because Donovan got along with them so well.
And I understand that, but like, they can get sent to Saigon. They didn't get sent to Siberia.
I agree with you.
I mean, Atlanta, so Atlanta's pretty nice. The Atlanta Hawks, that's not a place I'd want to be sent. But again, it's like, it does feel a little overstated. Now, did you flip-flop on Ben Simmons in the middle of that?
No. I was trying to see if Joe was going to really solidify his stance on it, because he went down that road and didn't go the whole way. Now, we're pro Ben Simmons here, but he was making the argument, and he was making the discussion while not going completely towards that end. The idea that, you and Joe clearly disagree with the buyout and the role player, the role that a buyout player is going
to
have.
Well, no. To me, it's a break glass in case of emergency. You shouldn't expect something, but if it turns into something, that ends up being a really good thing, or your roster's just cannibalized.
Okay, because the way Joe was laying out his case was the idea that the buyout players rarely have an impact, mm-hmm. and then the amount of headaches that Ben Simmons could potentially offer up, and I thought that's where he'd go down the road and say, that's why it's not worth it, but he never actually went through with saying that for obvious reasons.
I think the benefit of, and I think the genius of the Ben Simmons thing to me is, it's most likely that it won't do a thing for you. Right, you're only really going to find out Ben Simmons and his impact and what he's capable of doing at this point in his career if Dean Wade gets hurt or if one of your bigs get hurt down
the
stretch.
I can't rely on Dean Wade being healthy.
So, but again, I don't put it as likely. But when it comes down to it, would I rather Ben Simmons and who he used to be as a basketball player and waging a wager on that versus the other Morris twin, if he gets bought out, you know what I mean? Like, I think it's plausible to say, with all the warts on Ben Simmons, if you need him to, it might be a stroke of genius kind of move. It's more than likely not to have any effect, but the beauty of the way basketball is set up, we found this out with Dante Jones. Delhi was this in 2015 in the NBA Finals. We over-dramatize the impact of individual players. If a bench player in any given moment, if Amon Shumpert had a definitive game in a series, you felt like you won the lottery, because his job was just to not screw it up when he was on the court with LeBron. He was the sixth or seventh guy in the rotation. That's like, Ben Simmons will probably start as like the 10th or 11th guy, but because you have a coach who plays 10 or 11 guys, you're going to have a good chance just to see it in the regular season and get a picture of how Kenny wants to use him. And then you put it away until you need it. And so my excitement is more on the Kenny Atkinson side of things, of like, that guy with that skill set. As much of the scary thing is if Kenny needs to deploy it, I can see a scenario where he could make an impact.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I do, and I get you. But I think the – and what was really glaring today was the idea that Coby Altman has put an emphasis and a value on building out the locker room in certain ways that he wants. I mean, we talked about Kevin Porter Jr. yesterday, right? I mean, like, there's reasons why that went down the way that it did. You know, Kobe's clearly spent years manufacturing a locker room that all gets together and gets along. And so you got to ask yourself, is the juice worth the squeeze with someone like Ben Simmons? Is it worth it to potentially bring that into the locker room, even though it's a different setup and different scenario, when the payoff might not actually be that great?
More Cavs coming up in the lead in 5 minutes on 92.3 The Fan.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week. We can't wait to meet you there.